Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with David Sundman.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, and today we're joined by David Sundman, also known by his stage name, Lifted. David is a husband, father, rapper, speaker, and pastoral resident at Quorum Deo Church in Omaha. But his story didn't begin there. At 24 years old, David was homeless and addicted. Everything changed when he entered a Christian recovery program in 2015. Today, we'll hear how God transformed his life, how he uses music to share the gospel, and why he believes the church must stand for life. So, David, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to get to chat with you today.
So I looked at the website, Quorum Deo's website, and it says, rather than merely emphasizing evangelism, as conservative churches do, or social justice, as liberal churches do, Quorum Deo employs a holistic approach that connects the people of your church to the needs of the city. You seek to identify both the community's needs and its assets and dreams, affirming where God's hand is already evident and building on existing strengths. Can you explain what that looks like in practice? Which kind of probably falls under your connection to city partners.
Yes. So sort of the first part of that is we want to care for the whole person because, you know, as we know from the scriptures, humans are embodied spiritual creatures. And so that means they have both physical needs and spiritual needs. And so we want to seek to meet both of those. And so part of how that looks like in practice is, you know, one of the things that we look for in a city partner is our hope is that they would be doing both of those things. And Assure is a great example of that because you're meeting a tangible need for women who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. You're offering resources like ultrasounds and other information, but you're also praying with these women. You're sharing the gospel with them. You're trying to minister to their hearts. And so that's a beautiful example of that, of not just doing one or the other, but trying to meet both at the same time.
Absolutely.
Which is so vital. And then the other part of that is we want to not just feel like we know everything about what, say, like a certain community or population needs. Mm-hmm. We want to identify leaders and resources from within those communities. So, for example, one of our other city partners is In Common Community Development. And what they try to do, if they have a neighborhood that they want to help revitalize to, you know, reduce violent crime and increase economic vitality, they're not just going to send people in to come and tell everyone what to do. They want to identify people within that community to raise them up as leaders, resource them, and then allow them to create change in that community. And so that's sort of what we want to do as well as a church.
Okay, so Quorum Deo also talks about word and deed, outward and inward, demonstration and formation. Is that along those lines of how you see that lived out?
Yes, so we would say that for disciples of Jesus, we're not just trying to believe the right things. Mm. What we believe actually affects how we live our lives. And so we want to let our theology, our orthodoxy, lead to right practice or orthopraxy. So if we study the scriptures, I mean, you'd have to tear pages out of your Bible to not think that serving vulnerable people is a vital component of discipleship.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes that's how Christians can view it is, you know, I don't think anyone would disagree that reading your Bible and prayer are disciplines that every Christian should engage in. But I don't know if everyone thinks that serving people in need is also one of those essential Christian disciplines. And so I want people to see that that is something that everyone should be involved with, not just certain kinds of people. Now, the thing that someone might get involved with might look different for each person. We all have our own story. Obviously, for me, I'm more involved in addiction recovery because that's part of my story. But there might be people who are more connected to, say, working with an organization like Assure because they have a story of having an unplanned pregnancy or whatever it is that has connected them to that work in a way that's meaningful for them, that they can use their gifts to be involved with.
That's really good. I love that thought. I think I grew up in church, quote unquote, but that was something that wasn't necessarily emphasized for me. You know, yes, learning the Bible, doing those biblical principles, but serving, we did a lot of serving inside the church, but not necessarily outside. And so I feel like even with my own family, I've tried to change that trajectory. And, you know, because we are the church, we are representing Christ, and there are many people that need help. And if not the church, then who? And so I love the fact that you all are, you know, taking an active part in serving those outside the church. Yes, yeah, important to serve inside as well, but there are people outside those buildings, our churches, that need our help, need to see Jesus, not just hear Jesus, but also need to see Jesus, and we become His hands and His feet. David, why do you think it's important for churches to meet both material and spiritual needs, especially when it comes to women facing unplanned and unsupported pregnancies?
Yeah, so just like you said, people need to see Jesus as well. That was so important for me, because when I was in that rescue mission program, I saw people who came from churches all across the Bay Area, and they didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. They didn't know, you know, my story, but they came there to help me. Mm-hmm. They came there to serve. They came there to love people with mm-hmm. no expectation of anything in return. And that made the pages of scripture jump, you know, the words of scripture jump off the page for me. Mm-hmm. And I think when you meet someone's physical needs, mm-hmm. that opens the door to meeting spiritual needs.
Yes. Yeah.
So for sure, women come there because they have a tangible need, an unplanned mm-hmm. pregnancy. They want to, you know, they want to kind of see, am I pregnant? What's going on? How far along am I? You know, they want to start thinking about options.
Yeah.
That's the open door to then talk to them about the gospel. Because, you know, especially I'm sure that, you know, for someone who's in that kind of situation, they're probably feeling very alone, probably some shame, some fear.
Yep.
But to have a safe place they can go, where these are people who care about me, who are going to take care of me, who are going to walk alongside me, regardless of what I choose, that says a lot about the kind of people that Christians are, which says a lot about who Jesus is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. You know, one of the things that we here at Assure, we have a patient process, and we do share the gospel as a part of that patient process, but it's not based on whether or not they, our services are not based on whether or not they allow us to share the gospel. In fact, that we share the gospel really after we've already done the services, because we don't want that to be a prerequisite that you have to hear about the gospel before we serve you. And I just think that's so important for us to be the church without preaching, you know, or without shaming them. They're going to get the gospel at some point in that patient process, but we don't have to shout it. We don't have to force it down their throat. The truth stands on its own. And that's one of the things we say here at Assure often. The truth stands on its own. It doesn't need to be propped up. And so that's the truth about life, as well as the truth about eternal life. And we don't have to force it. We don't have to manipulate it, we just give it. And it's just that simple.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just that simple. So I do want to shift the conversation just a little bit to the sanctity of life, which is really at the heart of this program. And we've kind of talked about, you know, church involvement. But why do you believe the church must stand for life, both the Big C and as well as local congregations?
Well, as the church, we want to be about the things that God is about. And God is about preserving life. I mean, that's the story of Christianity, is all humans are facing death, but God offers us life. He yeah. rescues us. It's a story for an addict. If you rescue an addict from addiction, then you preserve their life. If you save a child from abortion, then you're preserving that life. And that's just something that the church has always been about from the beginning. And it's something that distinguished them, mm-hmm. actually. I mean, if you look at the first few centuries, you know, after Jesus rose from the grave and his people started to go out, something that marked them was the way that they cared for people, mm-hmm. The way that they treated humans with dignity and sought to preserve life. And so, you know, there was a common practice in Roman society called child exposure, that, you know, basically, you know, for people who had unwanted children after they were born, they would take them to a certain part of the city and they would just leave them there to die. And what Christians started to do was to go and go take those babies into their homes and treat them as if they were their own.
Yeah.
So that was something that was distinctly Christian. And it's not so different from abortion, right? I mean, it's just a matter of location. For child exposure, they were outside the womb, but for abortion, they're still inside the womb, but it's the same thing. And so, you know, it's so much so that in the fourth century, the Roman Emperor Julian, who didn't like Christianity, wanted to stop its influence and revive paganism. He said, you know, that basically he saw that the expansion of Christianity was largely due to the way that they cared for people. That they were taking in and caring for all people, not just their own, not just Jewish people, but anyone. And that was something that made the Roman government look bad because they weren't even caring for their own people well. And the Christians are out here doing it better than them. And so he decided, hey, we got to try to beat them at their own game. We need to try to do a better job at caring for our people. And so that just shows you that from the start, Christians have always been about preserving life. And that's something that actually helped to spread Christianity because people saw that and they thought, man, this is something different. These people care about everybody. They're willing to take in those who aren't their own. And that's the story of the gospel. God adopts us into his family. He takes us in when we're outsiders and he welcomes us into his family. And so that's really the mission of trying to save children from abortion is just trying to preserve life, see humans flourish. And so that's why we love to support organizations like Assure.
Oh, thank you. We so appreciate it. I was at a conference recently, and it was their 40th anniversary. It was a pregnancy center conference. And so there were pregnancy centers from all over the world. And they were talking about how some of their earlier pregnancy centers got started. And they actually said that bishops from a denomination that I used to be a part of had come to a meeting and started pregnancy centers. And it just kind of caught me off guard because they're not that active today. And so I feel like for me, it kind of ignited something in me to say, hey, do you know what happened 40 years ago from people in your denomination, probably people you know, and how do we revive that again? Because we do need the church support. We knew, and not just financially, once again, we are the church. And so it just kind of revived a passion in me to get the churches more involved with the work that we're doing, because once again, if not the church, then who? So I think that's really good.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Do you want to make a difference but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark with Assure Women's Center, and today I'm talking with David Sutman, also known as Lifted, about his journey from atheism and addiction to new life in Christ. Okay, so I have some ideas, but how can churches partner with pregnancy health centers in meaningful, holistic ways? Some maybe from your practical experience of what you guys are already doing.
Yes, well, one thing that I think is important is when I talk to an organization, what I like to say is, hey, what's your ideal church partner? What are the things that you're looking for? Because obviously we're going to have things that we feel like we want to do, but we also want to give a voice to the organization because we want to come alongside what they're doing and not just come in and feel like we have all the right ideas.
Yeah.
And so I see it as, you know, I would say as a church, we want to partner with organizations that align with our mission, who are meeting both physical and spiritual needs. And we want to kind of come alongside and figure out what is the best way that we can support an organization. That might be, you know, financially, it might be with volunteers. For individuals, something that I'm always telling people is, what's your no big deal skill or gift that you can offer to an organization? Because there's always going to be, you know, sort of volunteer opportunities that anyone can do, but there's going to be certain things that someone can connect to an organization with that maybe is specific for them. You know, like for me, I still get asked by the organization I used to work for, City Teen, to go and be an MC for fundraisers from time to time, because that's something that I can do. I can get up in front of people and I can get people fired up. That's a no big deal thing for me. I'll do that for free. I'm happy to do it. I enjoy doing it. Some people, that would be their nightmare, to go get in front of a bunch of people and try to, you know, do like an auction with a you know, in a fundraiser. But there are other things that, you know, something that I hate is, you know, anything involving a spreadsheet. But everyone has their no big deal skills, gifts that God has given them. And I say, like, hey, how can you connect that to the work that an organization is doing? And so for sure, that might be like someone who's a, you know, an experienced father might want to come and lead a parent class, a parenthood class for fathers, you know, who's, who the potential mothers of their children might be coming there, or maybe they're already parents or whatever. So I think there's always those things like, hey, what's something that you feel like God has given you that you can offer, in addition to just something that anyone can offer, like financial support or prayer.
That's good. I like that. I like that no big deal skills gift. I like that. I may have to borrow that one.
Take it.
So thinking about your own redemption story, David, how did it shape the way you view the value of every human life, born and unborn?
Oh, man. Well, if I take it back to that moment where I knew that God was there, you know, that was what I felt, was that God cared about me even in my lowest moment.
Mm-hmm.
He loved me. He wanted me to have a good life because he cared about me that much. And so if God can care that much about my life, then how could I not also try to extend that same care to others? And so that changed me and how I viewed other people. Because, you know, as an atheist, I would have said that I supported Planned Parenthood and organizations like it. But I could not hold that same belief after I knew who God was and what he had done for me. And That's the story of the gospel, that God loved the world so much that he was willing to come and die himself so that we might have life.
Yeah.
If God is willing to pay that price, I don't want to waste that gift. And we certainly want to help other people to treat life with that same dignity and respect.
That's good. So, like, some people argue that the church should stay out of politics when it comes to abortion and like issues. You're involved in church. So what would you say to someone that says that the church should stay out of politics when it comes to abortion and life issues?
Well, I think it certainly can be politically divisive. We all get that.
Yeah.
Before it's a political issue, it's a human issue. It's a moral issue. It's a gospel issue.
Yeah.
Because if we are followers of Jesus and we want to be about the things that he is about, then we have to stand for those things, regardless of who says it's right, you know, right or wrong to do so. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can do that without having to wave a particular political flag or putting it behind a certain candidate necessarily, although it can look like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, is this something that God is calling us to do? And if so, then we need to do that. If God is saying, hey, children in the womb are still children, and we need to try to do anything we can to rescue them from being killed, then we should do that regardless of what the political circumstances might be.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I often say that, you know, the unborn baby is not a Democrat or a Republican. He or she is a preborn baby. And so the life of that baby is more important than a political party, a political platform. And if we could just peel that back and just look at this baby as a human created in the image of God, then political opinions wouldn't come into play.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you see the gospel offering hope to women facing unexpected or unsupported pregnancies?
Well, I imagine that a woman in that situation is probably feeling maybe some guilt over the decisions that they've made, some shame, some fear, and the gospel offers hope for all of those things.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is both the great physician who heals our wounds for the ways that we have experienced the consequences of being sinned against by others. And he's also our savior who forgives our sins for the ways that we have sinned against others. For someone who's facing that kind of hard choice, and I can, you know, I think it's okay to acknowledge that it's a hard choice
yeah.
for many women, but that God offers hope, that he doesn't just leave us on our own. He makes us part of a people who will care for them, who will come around them and help them with whatever that they need, so that not just the child will flourish, but that the mother and the father will flourish as too. God wants help for all people, and he's provided a means for that through the gospel.
Yeah. You know, I think about the women that come through our doors. I'd say most of them don't want to have an abortion. They're facing real problems or real situations to them that tell them that they shouldn't, whether it's, you know, lack of finances or thinking their parents might put them out, or the boyfriend or husband might leave them, or we have three small kids, how can we afford another one? And so I think just coming alongside those women to offer them hope, our patient process really does slow them down. But somewhere in that patient process, sometimes they allow us to pray for them. And, you know, and there have been some times when they'll say, I know it's not right. I know this is not what God would want me to do. And so there is that spiritual component where they're being challenged as well. And sometimes I just need a reminder that there is hope. You know, your circumstance may not change today, but there is hope. And there certainly is hope in the gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we certainly hope they hear that when they are here. So what role do you believe fathers and husbands have in creating a culture that values and protects life?
Fathers, husbands should see themselves as the primary guardians of the life of their wives and their children.
Mm-hmm.
They should see that as their primary responsibility
yeah.
in the family. And that's the example that Jesus gave us, that he said he laid down his life for his bride, for his family, mm-hmm. his people. And as fathers, as husbands, we should be willing to do the same for our families. And for someone who's in a hard situation, that might be really challenging, but that's what we're called to do, and it's worthwhile to do it.
Absolutely. I was talking to someone yesterday who actually stands outside the abortion clinic, and their hope is that the young ladies would come and talk to them. But what she said was that the majority of the people that come to talk to them are the men that are dropping the girls off at the abortion clinics. And so I really feel like if that young man would say, no, this is what we're going to do, in many cases, she would not abort. When a young lady comes here, and that's one of the things that we're asking her, what kind of support do you have? Quite often she'll say, well, he said it's up to me. And so sometimes I just want to, you know, tell that young man, if you just speak into that, if you say, hey, I'm going to take responsibility for this, I'm going to help you out, that young lady would choose life more often than she would choose to abort, because she has some support. And so I think sometimes I feel like sometimes the men have lost the significance, or they don't recognize or realize the weight that they can hold in that decision, one way or the other.
Yeah, if they haven't been given a vision, perhaps even for
yeah.
leadership that they should be stepping into,
yeah,
then they're not going to assert that authority in that decision in the way that they could be, which is why I assume it's really important for, you know, providing resources for
yeah.
men who are willing to come and try to learn how to be a father, to try to show them how to step into that.
Absolutely. We have parenting classes for both. We encourage the men to come. We love when dads come because they are learning how to be better dads themselves. So what encouragement would you give pastors or church members who want to engage in supporting women and men facing unexpected pregnancies, or who want to take a stand for life but really feel unsure where to start?
Well, this is where our approach to city partnerships, I think, can be really helpful, is that we know that we don't have to recreate the wheel. We know that there's already people who are out there doing great work. And so we don't have to start our own program necessarily, especially if you're a smaller church or you don't have a lot of, you know, of your own resources. You can go and partner with an organization like Assure who are already doing it, have been doing it, and know what they're doing and are doing a great job of it. And just come alongside and support and say, how can we get involved? Because there's always going to be ways to do that. And so I think the important thing is to just start doing something.
Yeah.
Start somewhere and get behind the work that God is already doing in the city to add fuel to that flame.
So in closing, where can our listeners learn more about you and also learn more about Quarmdale Church?
Well, to hear my music, you can look me up on any platform. My name is spelled LIFTID, Lifted, and my last album is Sent, SENT. So you can look up Lifted Sent on any platform, and you can go check that out. And then you can learn more about Quarmdale Church at cdomaha.com.
All right, David, thanks so much for being here today. Friends, what a powerful testimony we've heard today from David Sundman. His story reminds us that no one is too far gone for the grace of God, and that the church is called to live out the gospel in both word and deed, especially as we come alongside women and families facing unplanned pregnancies. Thank you so much for listening.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Do you want to make a difference but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.